Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
It certainly is, and thank you for joining me and a couple of, they're winners. Let's just say that right off the bat. They are great people, wise winners of the Word, and that is Chris Williams and Dr. Sherry Keffer. Hi there.
Hey, it's great to be with you both, as always, and all those listening to us that we love so much.
You know, Steve, when you're saying that, you know, we're winners, and we all are, but we have to be on the right side. And in the Great Love chapter, it says, love never fails.
Yeah,
it true. Wins every time. So yep. So we are on the side of God's love and God's love for you.
That means we all get trophies?
Yes.
Actually, he gets the trophy, right? We all get to put our crowns at his feet. But yeah, that's a great point.
You know, the saying that I have on the wall is, what does it profit a person if he should gain the whole world and lose the last hole? It's from a golf poster, but of course that's from the scripture about what does it profit anyone to gain the whole world and lose his soul. And another version of that is, how sad to go out in life and do a bunch of cool things, but you miss this one thing about love.
Yes,
you never get the love part, which, you know, it doesn't say that God is loving. It says God is love. And if you don't know about that, then your concept of God, it's a little bit distorted. And, of course, there are a lot of people that are living out the godly way in a distorted way.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think it's really good for everybody to kind of sit back and say, how am I doing in this area of love? Am I meeting it? Am I not? And I need to do something about that.
And with that, where am I missing God's love in my life? How do I need to receive it? What do I need to open up to?
Absolutely. And making sure that we're not in self-deception about God's love, right? Because God's love means I do the right thing. God's love means that I'm protecting the ones that I'm with. I'm protecting my spouse. I'm protecting our kids. God's love means that I'm honest with myself and I'm honest with others. I mean, just those three things.
Yeah.
If those emulated God's love, we probably wouldn't even need phone lines, Steve, because we'd be really living out who God is and Him through us. But it's that darn sin. It's that darn, those wounds of our life that the enemy just puts his crooked fingers in and rides us like a bull and ends up causing us so much pain. But we have choice in that.
Yes.
We choose to either move towards God and what is right or to follow our hurt, wounds, addictions, and to cause a whole lot of harm.
And as Jesus came in the fullness of truth and grace, we are here just to participate in that with Him. Bring your stuff to the light. Let's put it in front of the grace of God and some wisdom, and let's see what happens.
And get a recovery group around you.
Absolutely. Other people, the body of Christ around you.
Well, we know this, that God loves you greatly. We know that sometimes God loves people so much, they put them in the path of this program, and something is said on that very day, and they go, wow, boy, did I ever need to hear that. Well, that's what I'm hoping and praying for you today. God bless you. God bless your family. And God bless your ability to hear the truth, even when it is a painful truth. We'll take a break. We'll come right back after this for more of New Life Live with Chris Williams and Dr. Sherry Keffer, Steve Arterburn here. We really do want this day right now to be the beginning of a holiday season for you that you'll never forget. Be the best one ever, no matter how tough. You take it and do the best you can with it and see what happens.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Let's go to the phones. Let's see what we got here. How about we talk over here with Paul, Portland, Maine, he's calling from, and listens to this program on the podcast version. Hey, Paul, how you doing there, buddy? Paul?
Getting by. How are you all?
Getting by. Well, what's going on?
So my question is, how hard should I fight my wife before I just give her the divorce that she wants and just do it amicably? I have a bullet point list of background information if you
okay.
Here,
if you don't mind, if we were talking with her, not you, but if we were talking to her, what do you think she would say is the biggest reason she doesn't think there's any hope for this thing?
Probably that I just don't love her.
Why would she think
that? Her name.
Why would she think that?
So I've recently read How We Love, so I have a little bit of terminology. And essentially, I think she is a vacillator, and I'm an avoider. And so we've been in this dance of just I don't know how to express, you know, my love for her. And she just needs more, just always needs more.
Okay,
and
so
I think that's kind of.
And what have you done to fix that part of you?
Not nearly enough.
Okay, sure. Then the answer is it's not time to give up. What's that?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I said I withdrew. I withdrew as I didn't know what to do. You know, and I wish I'd have found How We Love. The day it came out, obviously, but that didn't happen, so.
Okay. Well, Sherry, what are you thinking, feeling, sensing here when you hear this?
Yeah, hey, Paul. I love the book How We Love, too. Have you ever done anything in 11 years or even before that in your courtship that has made her feel unsafe, that has betrayed her, looked at porn, called an old girlfriend? Has there been anything in the way that your avoidant person, right, rules that part of you that has...
Mm-hmm.
Has set the relationship up for that extra layer?
Yes. I've by no means been what I needed to be on my end, and I would never argue that point for a single second. And even I wouldn't have even before now. It's not like suddenly now, but. I've done things that have made her feel betrayal. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you for your honesty.
Yeah.
It helps us. It helps us really know how to help you better. Because one thing I do know about vacillators is, you know, I'm telling you, they have their highs and lows, and I'm telling you, it can feel like riding a bull sometimes emotionally. I can feel you in that camp, but they are also typically fighters that want to hold on. They're like the last one to go down, typically. But if there's been some betrayal, they they will tend to move away, right? Because that's the ultimate of you don't want me. Mm-hmm. You know, they vacillate between that insecurity of you want me, you don't want me, you want me. But as soon as you add that piece, they feel unwanted and unloved, and they can give up. But for me, the first place I would start if I was with you both is working on repairing that betrayal piece. Working on mending that fence first, because she's got to feel safe with you. She has to know that she's safe. She has to know what the truth is. And that means you coming clean and getting on a different path of safety and sobriety, you know, in not acting out of trying to numb out, right? But getting to be that sober guy that we are longing for you to become. We believe you can do it. We know other men that do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's totally fair, and I see that. But I'm afraid at this point. So, like, background information is she's begun a relationship. We've been separated for about 2.5 months. And she started a relationship with someone else. And I don't know. She just will barely even see me in person. Mm. And I don't know how to. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say this. Even though she's in a relationship, you wouldn't want to use that as an excuse not to grow, whether this relationship survives or not. If this relationship is like many that occur while somebody's still married, it's got a lifespan of less than 6 months. Wouldn't it be amazing if you were the kind of guy that could welcome her back with character and understanding and acceptance? Let her betray you with this other person. You betrayed her. Let her do it and let her know. Even though you're in another relationship and you've given up on us, I have not given up on us. And here's what I'm doing. I'm going to this. I'm doing these things. I'm going to get better. I'm going to become the man that you always wanted. And whether you're going to be with me or not, that's what I'm committed to. And it would be very hard for that to not have an impact on her if after that she saw some things happening she's never seen before.
I'll be real quick. In my book, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal, I work with wives just like your wife. There's a chapter in there that says, remember when sex was safe and skydiving was dangerous? And there's a movement. It's a shame movement. There's three of them. Some women, when there's betrayal, they'll become like a turtle and they'll pull inside. It's hyposexual. Some get hypersexual, like you're trying to get that person to not betray them anymore. But the third type is sexually reactive. And that means I've been hurt and I am going to either hurt you, you know, I'm going to find somebody that's going to really love me. I'm going to, like, you know, this person's giving me attention, so that they move against the marriage. Like Steve said, it's a reaction. That doesn't mean it's a long-term relationship, and it's a perfect time for you to get serious about what you need to do, my friend, to become the guy that Steve was just talking about. Chris, I knew we were going to say something.
Yeah, Paul, I just want to invite you know, into what this looks like, because as one avoider to another, what we have a hard time showing up for is the difficult emotions of other people. And we have this automatic reaction to retreat. And we think retreat is just protecting ourselves and not hurting anyone else. But the truth of the matter is retreat is an abandonment. And it's like the worst kind of harm that we can do to people, but we can't see it. So our work is to address our fears, is to strengthen our resilience to show up to difficult things and difficult conversations. and sometimes difficult people in and circumstances.
And even feel, Chris. Feelings can feel lethal to avoiders.
Exactly.
It's like, I don't want to go there. And that was my hunch about the acting out, because we don't like our feelings, so we can numb out.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, so us avoiders take our internal experiences, and that's where we become very vulnerable to very, what I'll say, unholy or nasty medicators like pornography or other things like that. And so your work is to be able to show up. And so you're going to start...
While I do that work, should I just go ahead and proceed with giving her the divorce and just understand that if I work on myself and, it can be undone and just move on with that, though, or...
But why?
Is that trying to drag that out?
Is that come in defeat, my friend? Is that because you feel defeated, like you've lost, that there's another man now, and so I'm going to throw in the towel? Where does that come from? When we're fighting for you to fight, what is that about?
It's her unwillingness, I think, she won't even hardly speak to me, and it just... But she wants to move forward with the divorce.
Here's my suggestion, and again, it's purely for you and in your recovery from avoidance. Because avoiders, we tend to punt the ball on decisions. You're going to make a decision, and you're saying, I'm not going to decide anything about this divorce for the next 6 months. You can live however you want, because I can't control that. But I'm going to go work on myself, and I'm going to get into an everyman's battle, and I'm going to go to the emotional freedom workshop. I'm going to start seeing a therapist. I'm going to start working on me and doing the work on me, because I know that I need to be in a clear headspace to make such a life-altering decision.
That was pretty good counsel. What do you think about that?
That's pretty helpful.
I know.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Yeah.
And where, no matter what, I think, it'd be hard for her to ignore that. And, man, I just don't give up on this yet. And do whatever you can do. We'll talk to you about some of those options off the air. I'm going to send you The Soul of a Hero, because there's some great stuff in there about building a character of a man beyond all those addictions and struggles and unfaithfulness, really can make a difference here. So I'm going to send that to you.
And I want to say, kind of to hope for his heart, and I'm not saying all vacillators are this way, but one of their vulnerabilities is fantasy or idealization. Mm-hmm. And, so she's in a fantasy relationship right now. It's really not real. But what is captivating to them is a real person who has made real change. Because it's not fantasy, it's the real deal. And that's really what they're looking for, is safety and trust, and you're going to be there for me. So,
well, I'm an avoidolator. That isn't an official category, but it's got some vacillator and avoider in there. And I know how difficult it is to come to this conclusion that what I feel like I want to do might be exactly the opposite of what would be helpful to do. But then once you get that, then you can start to ask some people, what would you do? Or how do you see this? And when that person has dealt with more than kindergartners, they've dealt with adults like us, they're counselors, they've been trained, then you can gain some insight. I intend on getting that insight tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. with Charlie. If you don't have a Charlie, you need to have a Charlie in your life. I believe that. A coach, a counselor, somebody, a sponsor, mentor that takes you out of all of the things that you feel and get down to the things that are best. You want to feel good right now? Most people do. How about feeling good about yourself tomorrow? That's going to eliminate some things that could make you feel real good. Right now, you have to think long term. Life in this world is a chess game, and a lot of people are just playing checkers. You got to think way 3, 4, 5 moves in advance here, not just how am I going to jump across this or jump back over there and avoid the whole thing altogether. And that's my board game analogy for the day. We'll take a break. We'll come right back with more of New Life Live. If you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to help you. And that's also the number to call. If you could help us, great time to be generous, and we hope that you will be.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh. I wanted to let you know about two special offers that are only available in the month of November. The first is a free download of 5 irrefutable truths that can transform your life. When you embrace these truths, you can expect that things will change. Just visit newlife.com and click on the banner to get your free download. Also, we have free shipping and special pricing on several products. We're making it easy for you to treat yourself or maybe take care of some holiday shopping. Visit newlife.com and click the banner for more details. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we are back, and really glad that we were able to talk with that last caller, and I hope and pray that that said something to some of the others that are listening. Okay, let's. Let's go to Paul. We talked with Paul. Enjoyed talking to Paul there, too. How about Philadelphia? WFIL. Hi there. How are you today? We're talking with Cece. Hi, Cece.
Cece. Hi. Good afternoon. Yeah. How are you?
Well, that was loud. What was that? Are you on a racetrack?
No, I'm actually on my phone, Bluetooth speaker.
Okay. Well, tell us how we can help. How can we help you?
Yes, my name is Cece, and I listen to the show majority of the time when I'm going to work. And then this has been heavy in my heart, and I've been wanting to hear some wisdom, you know, like on what the Word of God says. And I just decided to call today. But anyway, my question is, I've been separated with my husband. This December will make it 6 years. Mm-hmm. And last year, we went through a divorce. And I've had other relationships, and I even got engaged 3 months ago. But I just can't seem to go through with, you know, with everything else, because I just feel like I'm so married to him, because I'm, you know, I feel like I'm not honoring, you know, my vow.
Well, what was the separation all about?
Okay, well,
the original separation.
When we got married in 2005, 2 months within the marriage, I found out through child support that he had a child, and he never told me about it.
Okay, that's crummy.
That's
horrible.
A big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Big one. Yes. Yes.
So
his family knew about it.
So what happened from that? So what did that result in? What was next?
That was our first separation, in fact. Then a month later, I found out that I was pregnant with my first son. And it was just like overwhelmed, you know, the idea of, you know, going through life in newlywed, newborn baby, alone. And, you know, the pastor got involved, and then, you know, we didn't go through counseling, but they talked us, you know, through it to getting us back together. And and he lies a lot, you know, throughout the whole marriage. Like, jail,
so,
you know, doing
okay,
bad
so,
stuff.
Okay, so has he done anything to become a man of integrity? Did he feel bad even about not telling you about the child? What was his reaction to all this? What's he done?
I did feel like he was remorseful about it. If anything, he was justifying the whole situation, and you know, like, oh, we weren't together. And I said to him, well, you kept that's a big deal to have a whole, like, you know, we went through City Hall in certain question of, you know, if we have children. You said no, and we went through the marriage with a big lie like this.
And so did he just stay at that place? He's never moved off of that?
Then later, I guess, you know, when he felt as though, like, I wasn't coming back with him, then he went through that that stage of apologetic whatnot, and we kind of worked, you know, through it, and then decided to move back together.
Okay.
Cece, what you imagined your marriage to be turned out to be nothing like that, right?
Yes.
And that was really, really painful.
Throughout the whole marriage, that's how I felt.
Yes. And so part of that union that God calls us to is intimacy, getting to know each other, getting to know Him, Him knowing you. But He began with a huge deception, and He just kind of kept the pattern of deceiving. But one of the things that you feel like you're still married to is, I think you're still married to the idea of making this marriage work, not the actual marriage.
Mm.
You know, so I'm married to, I can't let go that, because I never pictured myself as a divorced woman. I can't, I can't accept that reality. So I'm going to stay attached to this idea that this marriage is good and forever. But the reality doesn't doesn't reflect that at all. And what the reality requires is to engage in that painful truth that He is who He is, He is who He showed up to be, and that this is a painful reality in your life, and then grieving that process and growing through it.
And I want to get in, follow Chris's footsteps, and I want to get in a little deeper, because I wonder, you know, how long were you with your former husband when you were dating? Were you guys having sex? Like, you know, kind of like I was talking to Paul a little bit before, how sometimes we idealize a relationship. I would worry about that might be happening right now, my dear.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's do that when we come back from this break. We'll be back after this for New Life Live.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're back with you. I'm glad that you're here, and we're just having a few little, well, Cece's on, and Sherry, you wanted to cover a couple more things there with Cece, didn't you?
Yeah, so I know I'm asking really personal information, right? But that's why we're here.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Because I just need to, you know, move on past this. And you know, really,
Yeah, so were you guys sexual before you got married?
Yes.
Okay. And then fiancé, is there sex in that relationship?
Well, we're not living, he's living abroad. He's actually in Haiti and I'm in the United States.
Okay, so that is a little bit to my point. I mean, I'm going to just kind of trust a hunch here. One of my thoughts with you is, I wonder about if your dad left at an early age or wasn't around emotionally.
He did.
Okay, can you tell us a little snippet?
Oh my God, my dad left when I was 4 years old.
Oh, it
left me, my mom,
oh, boy,
and my brother in Haiti. And
came to the United States and at the age of 12 and 13, he actually brought us here. And we've been living together here.
You and your brother have been living since he was 12 or 13 here in the States.
Yes, but he left when I was 4 years old.
Okay, sweetheart.
I was 6 at the time. It was just me and my mom and my brother.
I get it. And
for a better life.
Yeah. And sometimes when we're peeling back the layers of the onion, when we look at trauma, mm-hmm. when I see like somebody who is merging quickly with sex or whatever and getting into a relationship before they really know that person, y'all had a quick start, right? Your first husband. But there's like a fantasy that somehow you're still attached to him. Like Chris pointed that out, married to the idea, and I would even say married to the ideal. What happened, as soon as we started getting real, you started telling us he lied about a big thing, having a child, and then he lied about mm-hmm. other things. And I imagine
and
they were...
Even now, when we were separated, within a couple months or a year, he met this lady that was attending our church. We were, going when we were married.
So he had an affair when you were separated with somebody at your church.
Right. And then now there's a baby involved now.
Okay.
And he kept it, from me again until the baby was like almost a year old, even to the children, because we have two children, together.
Right. So he's got two. He's got two baby mamas, and then your kids, right? That's
correct.
And so, your original statement was that you still feel married to him, and from what I'm hearing, he has never felt married to you.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, Steve's trying to bring a point to hitting a home run here. He's saying he's not been faithful and honest with you throughout your marriage. So what is that part of you that's longing for him? Guess what? That's your daddy wound.
Mm-hmm.
That's that 4-year-old little girl that lost her most important man, the most important man in her whole life, the man that she thought would stay. So my concern is your fiance that's in Haiti, that you guys don't live together in the area. I'm not saying live together. I mean live in a similar area.
He lives in Haiti, and I'm here.
I know, but you know what? This is a perfect setup for the detached man. It's another detached fantasy man.
Mm-hmm.
Girlfriend, I am fighting for your heart right now, because you are mm-hmm. attaching to men who are unavailable. Because your daddy wound mm-hmm. is keeping you in fear. And it's causing you, because it's not healed yet, to attach in ways to men that are not available like your dad. I wouldn't even be surprised if your story included that your dad had a child out of wedlock. Just because.
He did.
Okay.
He did.
Okay.
Before he got married to my mom. Oh,
there you go, sweet one.
He had a son. Yeah.
All
of
the things that Sherry is saying that are true before you tell us that they're true should give you the message, this is kind of predictable, and if it's predictable, there's a treatment for it. There's a program I could get on, and I could reverse all of this stuff in my life. It's not a mystery to Sherry. It's not a mystery to the world. I could get better. That's what I'd be holding on to if I were you. Yeah. Well, let me send you what would be a great book for her on. I'll send you Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. I'll send you Intimate Deception. I think both of those will be great mm-hmm. books for you. And I just hope and pray that maybe something here could be the beginning of a brand new way of living with some insight. Let's go to Isabel, Washington, D.C. is where she's calling from. Hi, Isabel, and how are you today?
Hi, I'm good.
Good.
Sorry.
How could we help?
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to say, first of all, thank you. You guys are amazing. I always listen to you guys, and I got a lot of healing, a lot of insight for myself and for others, and also understanding others just by listening to your podcast. So I just want to say that you guys are a blessing in many ways. And
thank you.
I wish you guys were my name, so I can just go over and talk to you guys. But I have a lot of subjects that I would like always to talk, to call into, but one I think I'm just going to make it in a way. So for this moment, I always, my emotions are impacting my physical. And so I get, if there's something sad, anything happening, or if I have a fight with my husband, my stomach starts hurting, my whole body starts hurting. Even just the phone calls waiting for you guys right now, my heart was nervous. Like, I was waiting, I was working, and my child was sleeping, but just that nervousness in my heart, and I feel like it's just getting worse. And I started, by the way, like grief counseling, because I realized one of the problems I have is the death of my father. To make it short, he died 16 years ago, and he didn't live long with me, different country circumstances. So he committed suicide 16 years ago. So all of that stuff. But
what's the question for us?
How do I manage my emotion? I want to be steady and stable. So I have 4 little kids. I mean, not one of 10-year-old is my oldest, and 1-year-old is my youngest. So I don't have the luxury of handling, going through all these emotions. So I want to learn how to balance myself and not, either I get very sad about things, like I cry because things affect me, or I get angry because, of course, I'm tired, too, overwhelmed, and exhausted. I'm just trying to learn how or what I should do.
So Isabel, let me jump in. Let me jump in here.
Yeah.
So, first and foremost, that's an all-star question. That is the question that I want us all to be asking. How do I take a hold of myself? How do I manage my own emotion and emotional reactions? But you've said a lot, and your body is saying a lot. And Sherry took a guess. I'm going to take a guess here. Is that, Isabel, you grew up in an environment that was very chaotic. Does that ring true?
I guess kind of, yeah.
It's so confusing. And what people said they were doing, they weren't doing. They were doing something different. Things were changing all the time. People were coming in and out.
Changing all the time.
Yeah. And so you weren't able to, and you had no one there for you to help you understand what you were feeling, to help you understand what you were going through, and what to do with all of those things going on inside of you. And so it kind of like stirred it up, and there's like, if I think about it, it's like your emotional world is like walking into a warehouse of fireworks with a lit match. And so it's exploding all over the place. And you're like, man, I can't get a hold of this. Yeah, because no one got a hold of you in your experiences and showed you and paid attention to you, showed you what you were feeling, but also showed you what to do about it and what you need and how to calm and how to soothe and how to connect through all of that. So there is a lot underneath all of that in the question that you're asking. But I just want you to know that you are asking the right question. And the first thing to do that I'm going to do right before we head to the break here is I want you to eliminate a phrase from your life. I didn't hear you say it, so you may not have it, but just in case, is he or she made me feel. Okay, no one makes you feel anything, and so we're going to recover your emotional life back to you. But before that, we got to head to a break.
We'll be back right after this for more of New Life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We are talking with Isabel. We're talking with Isabel for the break. Anything else you guys want to say to Isabel?
Well, I think that where I was really going is it's going to take a lot of, for you, Isabel, internal work to go into yourself and into your story and figure out how those fireworks got there and how they're triggered, and then be able to extract them out through some good trauma recovery work.
It's so interesting, Chris, that you use the idea of fireworks with a lit match. And to his point, Isabel, when your body starts showing signs like that, it's almost like your body is saying, I'm too full. Mm. I'm on tilt. There are actually too many fireworks in here for me to be able to manage them. And one of the things that takes the power away from fireworks is actually a room that doesn't have any oxygen in it, because fire needs oxygen to actually burn. But that's the thing that makes it so counterintuitive to go do the work. Because, you know, when you're in an airplane and you've got four kiddos, I can just imagine you, Isabel, being on a plane and the mask drops down and they say, you know, if there is problem with cabin pressure, you know, put your mask on before you put it on your kids. Well, that would be the greatest dilemma for any mom of four, but they do that for a reason, because they want to make sure that you're safe, you're hemmed in, you're secure, you're getting the oxygen you need so that you can care for your little ones. Well, trauma requires you getting in and working with someone like Chris said, but it's basically dealing with one firework at a time. You don't have to deal with every single one in the room. There could be 50 of them in there. But you have to disable that one. You have to clean it out. You have to do the work. I do this with EMDR. And when I'm with people, I'm movement desensitization reprocessing. In the room, there's tears coming down their cheeks. There's words that they've never said before. There's pain that they're attaching to. They can't relive it. You can never relive what you went through. You went through it one time, but it's gotten stuck in your body. And being able to release that, I see people every week that get rid of body symptoms because they're dealing with the firework and they're taking the oxygen out of it. And that's what good face-to-face trauma work can do. It's not a book to read. It's not a, you know, simple little, okay, I can just pray my way out of these bodies. Your body needs a dumping ground. And I call my office a sacred dumping ground.
All right. Yeah. I'm so glad that you called us. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. I hope that that's going to help you. I'm also going to ask you to come and join us for our emotional freedom workshop.
Be so good for her.
It's online. I'll get you a scholarship. Just because you called us, Isabel, I want to give that to you. I don't have a lot of time, but I do want to get to one final call with Carol in Minden City, Michigan, listening on Sirius XM. Carol, I don't have a lot of time, but I bet I could get to your call. How could we help today?
Oh, I hope so. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about how to know if you're codependent or not.
Okay, give us what you would be codependent on or over, or any detail.
I don't know. That's the thing. That's the thing that I talked to a friend that belonged to Al-Anon, but my husband doesn't drink alcohol, and she said, well, you're codependent, about some of the things I was talking to her about.
So what does your husband do that bothers you that you want him to stop?
Smoking cigars.
Okay.
Okay, when he smokes cigar,
does that have anything to do with it?
Yeah, when he smokes, well, hold on, we got to see this first. When he smokes a cigar, what happens inside of you?
I get emotional, like he's going to die from it.
So you get really scared and sad.
I think so, because my dad died when I was 11, and the emotions are welling up right now. And
yes,
I didn't plan on that.
I know, we don't plan on it, but it plans on us. And so codependency is when our state of being is determined by someone else's actions, behaviors, or words. Now, I'm not
trying not to bug him.
I know.
He told me if I didn't bug him, he'd probably quit sooner, but he never did. It's been like 8 months.
But you know, there is a little 11-year-old inside of you that is panicked.
Mm-hmm.
every time your husband smokes a cigar, there's a little 11-year-old that starts tugging on you saying, oh, he's going to die, he's going to die, just like Dad did. And that 11...
It was a heart attack.
Yeah. Mm. That little 11-year-old is actually driving your bus right now. Because, she's afraid. And that makes you afraid. And that's where the trauma work starts. It's having to let that little girl know inside that that happened. Mm-hmm. Can't lie about what happened. Right. But it's over, and you're safe now. You're safe. But she doesn't believe she's safe unless her husband stops smoking cigars, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I can hear that.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah. Love it. That's what insight sounds like. When you have insight, right? Even today in this call, you went to a place of tears, you connected with the pain, and then you giggled when the truth came in.
Yes, and it's the gift of codependency because we're all codependent because we've been affected by relationships one way or another. But But what we want to be able to do is take back control over our own state of being.
Yeah. So there are other things to do when somebody is smoking a cigar and you don't want them smoking a cigar. It's to engage them in other activities where cigars are kind of difficult to smoke. There are ways to support them and love them and go with what he says. You give up the... You give up the criticism, and you start helping him to see the good things about his character and his nature, and just see if that kind of approach doesn't work better.
And sharing what you're scared of, mm-hmm. I'm afraid you might die because my dad died at 11. Usually gets more ground than trying to control somebody. Don't smoke. Like, you bring your vulnerable heart to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, try to find a really great, or we'll try to find a great counselor for you to help you with that. I think Emotional Freedom Workshop would be great for you. All of those things. The book that we did, David Stoop and I did, Take Your Life Back, is a codependency book. It was called My Side of the Street to begin with, but we ended up naming it Take Your Life Back. And so I don't want your relationship to die because you're afraid of your cigar-smoking husband dying. That's what you can be free from. All right. Well, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you can help us, it is the same phone number. We love hearing from you. We love knowing that something we've done has made a difference. And all of you who support us, you are making a huge difference in this ministry. We are excited about our future. We have never, ever had the kind of support we do today, never had the kind of talent in this organization that we have today. The future is bright. We just want you to fuel that bright future by supporting us the way we've always been partners with our supporters from the very, very beginning. Bless you. Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Sherry Keffer. Don't forget her book, Intimate Betrayal. I mean, it is, I'm sorry, that's not it.
Intimate Deception
is the actual net title. How did I do that? Anyway, it's a good one. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.